everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Mac McIntyre.
Well, hello there.
And Judge Eric Asperschlager.
Hey there.
And the three of us are here to kill some time before your weekend. And I don't know, you know how we roll. So, Mac, how do you roll?
Very smoothly.
That's right. You got it. The low center of gravity helps a lot.
I'm spherical.
So what have you been up to?
I don't know how much we're going to get into this. You guys earlier this week on the Objection podcast, you talked all about Thor.
Yes, Thor.
I did go to see Thor.
Okay.
Twice.
Twice. Oh, all right. All right. Do tell.
You know, I really liked it, you know. And yeah, you know, I'm kind of predisposed to like it because I am a fan. You know, been a big fan of the character for a long time, many years now. You know, I'm kind of dating myself here. I was in high school when those sort of Walt Simonson classics were being released, and, you know, every issue was just better than the next with all that, you know, huge, bold artwork. And so it was just great. It's great fun to know that there's actually a Thor movie that I can go and see and watch Thor hammering giant monsters. It's just great.
So that was the second time you saw it. Did you enjoy it a good amount, just as, you know, much as the first time you saw it, or...?
I'd say so. One thing you and Dan didn't hit upon was the 3D.
Yeah, we only watched it. I only saw it in 2D.
Yeah. Saw it in 3D at the IMAX, and then that was on Saturday, and then just today just saw it at the regular old multiplex. And honestly, really didn't see that much of a difference.
Yeah, it was one of those post-production 3D up converts, you know?
That's what I heard. Well, what I've heard about the post-conversion is that sometimes the colors look messed up. I didn't have that problem with Thor, thank goodness. But it's just that they both look the same. There was a few moments there as the closing credits start, there's a big special effects bit where it looks like you're flying through space. And that was really the only time when I really sat up and thought, whoa, this 3D is blowing my mind. But during all the action, the battles, and the craziness, the 3D just didn't impress. So but other than that, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought Chris Hemsworth was great. He really sort of nailed the character. He made the character likable.
Right, he did. I agree with that. I liked him a lot.
Yeah, so... yeah, I just really had a lot of fun with it.
Where does it rank as far as your preferred Marvel movies?
Well, that's a toughie. Let's see. Are we going with just the Avengers series or the...
Overall. No. Throw Spider-Man in there and Iron Man and all that.
Right. I'll say that I would say that Thor is more comparable to the X-Men films than Spider-Man and the other Avengers films because... Like, with X-Men, they took huge liberties with the source material, but they did it in such a way to appeal to a film audience and to kind of introduce the characters to newcomers. Because of all the comic book characters who have convoluted backstories, the X-Men is the granddaddy of them all.
Right.
And Thor's not that far behind.
That's true. A lot of mythology there.
So, yeah, this movie just takes a little bit from this comic and a little bit from that comic and kind of mixes and matches. But the final result was that you've got a good Thor for beginners and you know, one that's a little less far out and a little more relatable. So, you know.
So the summer season is kicked off with Flair for you.
I'd say Flair, really. I'd say so.
Did you wear, like, a Thor helmet when you went to see it the second time?
You know, they have those at the store. I was so tempted to get one, but no. I actually have a Thor hammer, just one that's I got at a convention a few years ago.
Was the last time we had a live-action Thor on-screen representation in Adventures in Babysitting?
There's that. When was the Incredible Hulk TV movie where he met Thor? Was that before or after?
That's a good question. I don't know.
The one where Donald Blake raises the hammer up in the air, yells Odin, and then he transforms into Thor. He's this big, beefy guy.
Like Masters of the Universe?
Yes, kind of like that, yeah.
Nice.
And Thor was wearing that vest, that kind of vest covered with fur. That was pretty bad. That was what they call a backdoor pilot. They were hoping it would go to series.
Right, absolutely.
Which one was that? Was that Return?
I'm not the Incredible Hulk aficionado.
It must have been Return, because then there was Trial of the Incredible Hulk with Daredevil. And then finally there was Death of the Incredible Hulk. That was supposed to introduce She-Hulk, but they never got around to it. So, but yeah, Thor. I really liked it. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people are saying, oh, the romance didn't quite work, and I can kind of see that. He has breakfast with Natalie Portman, and suddenly he's, wants to save humanity. Yeah, I get where you're coming from there. But was anybody really waiting in line to see the movie thinking to themselves, oh, I hope it's got a heart-touching romance in the Thor movie?
Probably not.
Was anyone really thinking that?
So, nah.
It's a means to an end. It's, it helps him become the good guy at the end.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but does Natalie Portman convince him to save the world by playing that one Shin song for him on our headphones? That's a Garden State reference.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Taking it all
good.
Back to 2000.
And, nice.
So if I was Thor, I probably would have just dumped Natalie Portman and run off with Kat Dennings. She stole every scene she was in.
Or Stellan Skarsgård, whatever his name is. Peter, yeah. All right, good. Well, that's good you liked it. I did think that if you had a relationship with the Thor character, you would probably get a lot more into the film. So, but I could see, it's certainly a good time. I think maybe I'm just in a different place in my life where the overabundance of CGI action is leaving me a little cold. But then again, I'm looking forward to the third Transformers movie, so my opinion is null and void.
Yeah, I think if the entire movie had been in Asgard, it would have been a little exhausting.
Yeah, that's a good one. But I mean, the humor was, I thought the humor was great. That was really fun. In fact, my favorite action scene may have been Thor's incursion into the S.H.I.E.L.D. campground.
That was pretty cool.
It was kind of cool. And what was that, like a Hawkeye cameo, right?
Totally, yeah.
So, Jeremy
Renner. Just spoiled a whole bunch of stuff for Eric there.
There you go.
It's okay.
All right.
I'm used to it on this podcast.
Well, speaking of Eric, what do you got?
I've been sitting here for the past few minutes trying to think of a Thorgasm joke, but I got nothing. So I'll move on to
just foam the Rotten Tomatoes critics review.
Is that on there? It's got to be.
So many Thor jokes.
Is there? Okay, there's got to be.
Amazing Thor puns.
Sort of been not following that too much. Not a whole lot this week. I've been spending most of my time watching what I'm reviewing, so we'll talk about that in a bit. Very quickly, though, we can talk about a couple of season finales. First off, the season finale of Justified. Damon, we emailed a bit a couple days ago. A little disappointed.
Yeah, I'm with you. In fact, the last couple of episodes didn't do a whole lot for me. And I think post Black Pike,
absolutely.
Things seemed to soften for me.
Yeah, I didn't. I almost wish it had been a two-parter or a longer one, just because I felt the way that they had to resolve it with like 15 minutes to go was a little too, deus ex machina, or however you say it.
Right.
But, obviously it's still a great show. I just, I agree that it sort of peaked a little bit earlier.
Especially when you compare it to the season finale last year.
Yeah, I mean, that, like, season one, there were a lot more serial episodes in season one, or not serial, like standalone episodes in season one. And then about midway through, it just kind of ramped all the way up into the finale. And this season, there were fewer of the standalone episodes in the beginning, then it ramped up kind of early on and sort of peaked, even though the last few episodes, tied directly to each other. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying my two main criticisms of this season probably involves the two most important characters, Boyd and Raylan. And it's kind of weird. It's like almost a mirror image. Like, Boyd goes through this kind of spiritual, searching for a spiritual core, and then I'm not even sure when it happens because it's so sudden where he becomes the criminal mastermind again.
Yeah.
And then, because it kind of seemed like, just didn't make it – like I was just so interested in what was going on with him in the beginning, and then this just seemed so much of a pivot. And then Rayland just seemed to me to be very toothless towards the end, like just making stupid mistakes, being caught constantly. His plans never worked out. That wasn't Raylan Givens from, earlier season and even last season. I mean, he was that Jack Bauer-like alpha male type, and he was just kind of neutered. I blame, I don't think the Winona relationship brings anything. In fact, you could even tell, like, comparing his relationship with Winona to What's-Her-Face from Black Pike, I mean, one had chemistry, one was a dud, you know. So it's just, and plus she's kind of a deadweight character too.
Yeah, I think they wanted us to care more about that, which is kind of why they left that on a bit of a cliffhanger. But I couldn't have cared less.
Yeah,
about what happened between them?
I mean, I could have sworn that they were setting up. I mean, I thought the signposts were there, where like following those boneheaded moves of like stealing money. That I saw facial expressions and things that Raylan was saying, like, oh, what have I got myself into? And then there's definite chemistry with this Black Pike girl. Maybe that's revisited. I don't know. And then we had talked to Eric about how there was this real focus on the Loretta character.
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem – I mean, she's a nice little actress, but it just didn't seem to merit all that attention.
I like that. I just think that they tried to do too many other things. I would have liked it if they'd, you know, steered away from all of the Marshall stuff. I mean, I think what they unfortunately tried to do early on, they planted seeds for, you know, the Raylan Art storyline and the Raylan Winona storyline. And they tried to bring those back at the end, and that, I think, took away from the impact of what could have been more Raylan back in Harlan County, dealing with his roots, you know, to have kind of the Marshals kind of just kind of thrust in, you know, at the end, you know, didn't really do much to bolster the end of the season. It just sort of took away from what could have been a cooler Raylan Loretta thing, just to kind of have Raylan be like the negotiator or whatever, and it didn't quite work for me, but I don't know.
It kind of ended predictably. Now, Mac, you watched it, right?
Yeah, I did.
I hope so.
Yeah, right. If not, too bad. Sorry.
Yeah, I think what you guys are saying, I'm definitely sitting here nodding my head at everything. I kind of think the season's had a lot of great moments, but I think overall a lot of what you're saying about how Rand's feeling a little toothless at the end there, I kind of feel like there's so much going on that Raylan himself was a little too often sort of pushed into the background or into the B story. That was the character that really first drew me into the show and made me sit up and go, wow, the show's great. And this season it's been more of like an ensemble, and I'm not sure that worked for me, despite some really great moments throughout.
I think I could agree with that. Even in the beginning, there was a lot as they were setting up the Bennetts and all that stuff.
Yeah. And the Bennetts were great. And I think if you went back and rewatched the whole thing, I think the Bennetts stand up from beginning to end. I mean, Dickie's a great character. Yeah. Even Coover, what was his name?
I think you're right with Coover.
Yeah, was great. I think the way that played out was really compelling and set up what could have been, you know, really strong finish. But then they just kind of got Boyd involved and then left that completely hanging. I mean, the stuff they did with Boyd in the finale could have been cool. And like you said last week, Dave, you kind of predicted that there would be a Raylan-Boyd team-up, and there really wasn't. It was almost like they just sort of left that, I imagine, for season three. I mean, now that, you know, Boyd is kind of back in town, I would sort of imagine that that's kind of where they're going with season three, setting him up to be the bad again. But that's – I'm not sure how I feel about that either. Given his kind of quick.
I mean, that whole end part is emblematic of kind of my issues where, you know, I mean, again, spoilers here, but, you know, Dickie perpetrates a pretty terrible crime against someone that Boyd is attached to, you know, and Raylan would still be attached to. But, you know, so Boyd lets him go, and you think that Raylan's got some kind of a plan, but he really doesn't, you know? He, like, shows up at the Bennett compound with zero plan, and surprise, surprise, they're armed to the teeth, you know? So that was one of those, like, what is happening here?
I mean, I have to imagine that they left Boyd open-ended and even Dickie open-ended so that can be resolved in season three.
Right.
Which is sort of what they did in season one. They ended it with certain plot threads, you know, unresolved, and then tied them up at the beginning of season two. I mean, season two, I picked up exactly where season one left off. I don't know that that'll happen again this time. Maybe it will. But I would imagine we haven't seen the last of Dickie. Certainly haven't seen the last of Boyd. But, you know, I mean, it's still a very strong show. And, I haven't heard anything about it not coming back. I can't imagine it wouldn't. It's one of their big shows on Fox, on FX. I mean, right. even as Fox is, like, slashing the shows that they have on right now.
Right. I will say, in defense, we always go about this with Fox, and this is kind of – I was looking at, like, upcoming TV lineups, you know, the possible ones coming up for fall. And, I mean, it's like at least – yeah, I know Fox does cut a lot of it, but if you see what they got coming up, you know, they got this, that J.J. Abrams Alcatraz show coming up. Yep. You know, they've got, like, this these interesting things. You look at CBS, you know, it's more procedurals, you know. So – but I guess they'll sell. So it's a double-edged sword.
It is. I mean, I guess I'm mostly
Greenlight upset. Greenlight is cool stuff. They rip it out of your heartstrings, you know, but I guess it beats Law & Order Saskatchewan.
It is. It does. I mean, Fox, you know, deserves a lot of credit and deserves, you know, some anger as well. I mean, I'm not happy at all that they're canceling Chicago Code because I think that's a really great show. And it's, you know, I don't think it's necessarily their fault in the same way that, you know, when Arrested Development finally went off the air, I mean, there's only so long they could keep that, you know, going without paying attention to the ratings and stuff. So anyway, too bad. The only other finale I wanted to touch on briefly is part one of the two-part Community season finale.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing show. And that, I thought the first part was just one of the best things I've seen in TV. The same way that the last year, last year had the great paintball episode, Modern Warfare. And when I heard that they were going to do paintball again, I was like, well, how are they going to do that again? But they really took it to a whole other place and did some really cool stuff. I mean, the whole idea of Fort Hawthorne and, you know, the getting, Josh Holloway in. And
yeah, no, it was great. But man, there's a steep price to pay for these. Like, I love them. I thought it was awesome too.
Yep.
You know, but there's a steep price for these kind of esoteric episodes because I read like Community's ratings are lower than freaking Outsourced.
Well, Community at least has been renewed for another season.
That's good. Yeah, Outsourced may be getting the axe, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it may already have been canceled. I'm not sure. No, I could be wrong. Anyway, but yeah. No, I mean, Community takes the biggest risks.
Absolutely.
Of any show on television, and I love them for it. And I can't wait to see where they go with the second part because it was just it was a better mini movie than most actual full length movies are these days in Hollywood. And interestingly enough, I tweeted something about it after the episode, and one of the guys on the show, I don't remember his character's name, but he's, you know, in Fort Hawthorne there was the girl dancing, and then there was the guy dancing.
Yeah.
He I guess is on Twitter. He happened to see what I wrote, so he wrote back and said, I didn't know this. The last year's paintball episode was directed by the same guy who directed Fast Five.
Huh. Justin Lin?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see who's directing this finale because they bring in some interesting people. But
very cool. Hey, let's get another shot. So, and your Twitter handle is?
Oh, it's Asper Slobber.
There you go.
I've been building up a little you know, follower base, and only probably half of them are spam. So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Huh. All right, well, I don't know. You guys pretty much covered everything I was going to talk about anyway. So, I mean, Thor, check. Community, check. Hey, Fringe ended in a big way. Crazy, crazy way. Typical J.J. Abrams way. But that has been renewed for all 22 episodes next year. So I'm not even going to begin to try to spoil the end of Fringe because there's no point. The big finale this week is Smallville's series finale.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Assuming he wears the suit.
It's got to happen.
Got to see those red boots.
That's right. They've got a lot of ground to cover, though, in the 2 hours. I mean, Lois Lane broke up with them, so, you know. But, you know, so we've seen there's screen grabs of them getting married and stuff. So then you got the dark side angle. You got to fit Lex Luthor in there, get some cameos, get the suit, get all that stuff. So they have 2 hours to do it, and we'll see if they can do it, but... definitely looking forward to that. All right, let's move on to what we've been working on, Mac.
From one superhero movie to another, I just finished up a review of The Green Hornet.
Ah, yes, and?
I don't know if I'm kind of feeling this one. A lot of people are saying that, you know, Thor, it's so mediocre. I'm like, well, you know, I watched Green Hornet the same weekend I watched Thor, so if you want to talk mediocre, you know, walk a mile in my shoes, but... yeah, it was just, I don't know.
Are you saying your shoes are mediocre? Do you wear mediocre footwear?
No, I'm saying my path in life is...
Ah, I gotcha. Thank you.
I didn't hate the movie. It wasn't the worst movie ever, but it's just... it's like it doesn't know what it wants to be. It wants to be the classic superhero origin movie, but it also wants to be this, you know, Judd Apatow-style comedy. And... you know, I as much as I like Seth Rogen, and I really respect that, you know, he lost all that weight for the role, maybe he wasn't the right guy for the part, maybe.
But didn't he write it, or wasn't this his whole thing?
Yeah, he got a co-writer credit, and he's an executive producer, so, and they're really hoping to turn this into a big franchise, but, and that's why, you know, it's constantly making the jokes, it's, you know, jokes, 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 so. Yeah, and I don't know. If you want to do a superhero spoof, then do that. But this is it's trying to have it both ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, it was just kind of frustrating. You know, it's just like, yeah. So,
all right.
I don't know what more I can say. But yeah, there are others though who liked the comedy. They liked that it didn't take itself so seriously and thought that you know the action part of the movie was the part that was dull. But I felt the opposite. I was. That guy Michel Gondry, who's that famous French filmmaker, directed this, and mm-hmm. It turns out that the highbrow French artist can also shoot action.
So, was the action good?
It was pretty good. The car chases were probably my favorite part. There are two big car chases in the movie, and they were very well filmed. And of course, Cato, who is the Green Hornet's famous sidekick, makes up with all kinds of cool martial arts moves and. They do it so it kind of looks like a video game where you're seeing things from Kato's perspective and he looks at his opponent and you see these little red flashes on his opponent just like a like boss battle in a video game. So you know that's where Kato's about to hit the guy and then it goes from slow motion back into regular speed and it shows how he hits him. So it's a really different effect. It looks very much like a video game, but it was interesting. It was something different.
All right. Eric, I see you got a Twilight Zone in your docket.
Yep. Yeah, this week is Twilight Zone Blu-ray. This is the fourth season, which is probably the least known season because this is the season that CBS actually took them off the air for the fall, brought them back as a mid-season replacement because the show that they were bringing back, they came back to replace, was an hour-long show. They had to fill that hour-long slot. So these are this is the hour-long season. There are 18 episodes. And the show, you know, worked very well as a half-hour show because you got the kind of you know the setup and the story, and then the twist at the end, and that was the big thing. Mm. But in the hour long series, it had to kind of take on a very different tone. I mean, the subjects are very you know similar. There's a lot of sci fi stuff and some you know weird fantasy things and so on. But you know they couldn't rely as much on the twist. They had to find ways to sort of fill the time. And it's probably the least successful of the seasons. Probably I haven't seen all the way through the fifth season yet, although that season has quite a few classics. You know, there is unfortunately kind of too much padding. There are some standout episodes to be sure, although oddly enough, some of the worst are the ones that were actually written by Rod Serling, who at this point was not all that involved in the show. He'd gone to take a teaching position at Antioch College, and he just sort of came back from time to time to kind of bulk record his opening and closing narration segments and stuff like that. So it's a season of change. I think there are definitely some good episodes there, and if you're a fan, you should pick it up, if only because Image Entertainment has just done a stellar job of putting out these sets. I mean, the image quality is – These are reference discs. It's just crazy to say about like a 60-year-old show, but these are some of the best looking Blu-rays I've ever seen. What they were able to do with going back and getting the original negatives, and I mean the fabric detail and just the lack of compression and all that kind of stuff. It's just they're really really beautiful, and they're just packed to gills with bonus features. So I think if you don't know the episodes already, and chances are you know you may not have seen them unless you're a really kind of hardcore fan. You might want to hold off for the fifth set or kind of pick up the inevitable complete series on Blu-ray and just kind of have them packed in there. I don't know if it's worth the, you know, $100 MSRP for these episodes, but yeah, it's different, but it's still pretty cool.
All right. Very good. Let's see. For me here, not a whole lot of stuff that's interesting. Food and Friends from Nickelodeon. Bunch of food-centered Nick Jr. cartoons, including Eat from Yo Gabba Gabba, the Party in My Tummy episode.
Nice.
Actually, there's one movie that was a nice little surprise, something called Broken Hill. It's an Australian drama, kind of a family movie. If you look on the cover, and we'll see it on the upcoming DVD release section, which will be up too soon, but it looks very much like a love story. Like the tagline says, love brought them together. Music gave them a second chance, you know, and there's like a horse prancing in front of a sunset. And you know, so I think it's one of those Hallmark love's enduring, you know, promises or whatever movies. It's really not that at all. In fact, it's a lot like Billy Elliot, you know, a kind of a blue collar kid from a ranch family. His single dad is a rancher, wants him to be a rancher, but he's got a love of music and wants to compose music and be a, and, you know, a conductor, an orchestra conductor, and he ends up basically ends up in a prison helping build a band and an orchestra from prisoners, and they go to Sydney and they wow people with their awesome music. So that's a nutshell, but it's actually kind of it's a lot better than the way I described it, which was pathetic. So a nice little family film, not a gooey love story. There's some light romance, but beyond that, it's more like Billy Elliot than anything else. And if you like that kind of genre or formula, then I think you'll like this. The title kind of stinks too, Broken Hill. I don't know. It's kind of lame, but still, recommended. So, Mac, what do we have next?
All right, why don't we take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and from there we're going to go to the Cover Art Gallery for May 17th. And it's, as usual, it's a huge list, all kinds of stuff on here. We're just going to talk about what jumps out at us as interesting.
A lot of personal defense DVDs.
I noticed that too. A lot of, you know, how to.
Yeah, Krav Maga. One of our favorite Israeli defense systems here.
Yes, you see this one?
The Friday Filibuster?
One of many.
One of many, yeah.
There's one in here that's Kapop versus Krav Maga. It's self defense versus knife.
Excellent.
Can't wait for self defense versus bullet.
Or self-defense versus boa.
Versus Dino Croc.
Dino Croc. let's see.
We've got Twilight Zone out this week. Also Royal Pains, which I reviewed last week.
Nice.
One is recommended. One is. Sure. Yeah, it is. I talked about it last week, which is, it tells you how memorable it apparently is.
Sorry.
No, believe me. Don't be sorry.
So we've got Exploited, Violated, Victimized, Exploited, a film by Moses.
I'm just going to point that out.
There you go.
Parting of the red tape. No, it doesn't work. Wait, hold on. Let me think of it. Never mind. I'll think of a joke. Never mind.
How about how about worst discover art maybe this week goes to Getting Smart from the Hoffman Collection, whatever that is. You see that right next to Gargoyles, which is also terrible in its own right.
Yeah, not sure what Getting Smart. It's not Get Smart, the great TV show. Yeah. It's something else. Yeah, those guys on the Gargoyles cover, they mean business, don't they?
They do mean business, yeah.
I don't know. I might give either worst cover or worst title to the movie. If you love someone who smokes, get them to watch this video.
That's great.
It's direct, clear and direct.
Hey, there's a lot more Thor, a Marvel Thor movie.
I guess this is some kind of animated direct to video. I'm kind of not sure what that is actually. And is he holding a sword instead of his hammer?
Doesn't look very hammer-like. That's for sure.
That's just wrong. He's got to have his hammer.
That's just He-Man, isn't it? With a.
There's some judo immobilization. Man, he could really go crazy and just become the ultimate killing machine this week.
it's that time of year, you know. Really.
Now, it's something you reviewed, right, Eric? Royal Pains.
Yeah, that's what I just see. That's how memorable it is. I just said it was on this list, and you forgot already. Because
did I really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
That's fine. I just chastised Mac for not remembering.
Holy cow.
You've been listening to me telling that.
Oh, man.
Royal Pains.
Boy, Natalie Portman is in every other movie these days.
She really is, yeah. What's the Other Woman?
The Other Woman. Yeah. Don't know anything about it. See, there's that Jason Statham movie, The Mechanic, which is out already. Right? That's the one that was... That's got to be it, right?
Yeah.
That's the one that's based on the NPR show Car Talk, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he plays Click and Ben Potter's Clack. I don't know. Anything else? Anything else jump out at you? Going once? Going twice? If you love someone who smokes, get to watch the video. I just thought, oh, that's great. I love it. The coffin. All right.
I wish more movies were that direct with their titles.
Absolutely.
You know, Jurassic Park could be a bunch of dinosaurs get loose and eat people. The movie.
If you want to see Sharon Stone's breasts, watch this movie.
Exactly. Which is every Sharon Stone movie.
Which is every Sharon Stone movie. Absolutely.
You know, so they just make it sequels. One, two.
That's right. All right. Inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week.
All right, I'll go.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I was still looking and I got nothing. Right. Go ahead,
I'm going to go with Glenn Tilbrook and the Fluffers.
That's good.
I was wondering where you're going with that, and then you got the Fluffers.
Yes.
All right, Eric.
I guess I'll go with South Riding.
Oh, man.
It's a rough week. This
it's
is
a rough
very,
week.
Very difficult week.
I guess I'll just go with a layup. I don't know, All in the Family.
That works.
All right. Okay, time for our ambush topics. And you know how this works, random topics thrown at each other. So, Eric, why don't you kick us off?
All right. My topic this week is Trapped by Rubble.
Good.
Should be an easy one. There's,
I know. There's a few things popping in my head, but I want to think of a good one here. Trapped by Rubble. Okay. How about this? One of my favorite B movie guilty pleasures is King Kong Lives. Remember the terrible King Kong movie starring Linda Hamilton? And the plot there is King Kong was kept alive after his swan dive off the Empire State Building, and they gave him a heart transplant.
That's right.
And remember, like a giant rope, Radio Shack Armatron brings his heart and drops it into King Kong. And so basically, King Kong goes crazy because I'm guessing either NASA, it's probably NASA is behind this, they capture his Kong girlfriend. So he goes crazy, and then there's this one scene where he's walking through a canyon and some redneck hunters blow the canyon up and bury him in rubble and all these boulders. And he's like up to the neck. And then they go right up to his face. They're like throwing arrows and light, you know, like arrows at him and torches and fire and just really pissing him off. And of course he breaks free. And he, it's pretty jarring actually. Like he eats one of the hunters, just shoves him in his mouth and eats him, breaks another one in half. It's pretty violent. It's surprisingly violent. But I guess you'd be that violent if you were being poked by flaming sticks while you're in rubble. So, yeah. It's pretty much the only memorable thing about King Kong Lives. But it's a nice corny B movie.
See, when you said it was a B movie, Guilty Pleasure, I thought you were going to go with that. What was that in the movie with the diversionary landslide?
Oh, good one, yeah.
I mean, no one's actually
involved, but yeah, Punk Vacation.
Yeah, No one was ever in danger of actually being trapped by the rubble,
the diversionary landslide, right. You know, a bunch of our heroes are approaching the punks where they're vacationing.
Yep.
They approach the punks, and the sheriff decides to create a diversionary landslide. Divert the punks' attention. It is quickly shot down by his compadres. That's your plan? Yeah. Why? It sucks. So, I think that's an actual line from the movie.
Yeah, well, the problem with the plan is that he tells his partner to go around and sneak around and get them from behind.
Well, he
creates a diversionary landslide.
That's right.
Oh, that's great. Sorry, Mac, if that was yours.
But no, it wasn't. But that's great. I don't think I can top that, actually. Let's see. For mine, there's this movie. I'm going into spoilers here, but the movie's not that great, so it doesn't matter. Movie called Dolan's Cadillac.
That actually sounds familiar.
Is that a Stephen King story? I've read the short story, yeah.
It's very loosely based on a Stephen King story, yeah. Christian Slater wants to get revenge on this. Oh, no, Christian Slater is Dolan, and the other guy, Wes Bentley, wants to get his revenge on Christian Slater. But because it's a movie, you can't just have revenge. It has to be elaborate revenge, right? So Wes Bentley gets the job on the construction crew, right? And then I don't know where the rest of the crew goes, but he takes all the construction equipment out onto the freeway and sets up this huge death trap for Dolan and his Cadillac. And the Cadillac drops down into the, like a, I don't know what, some kind of made up trapdoor, you know, in the fake highway, and then gets buried under all this, you know, rubble and dirt and stuff, and, you know, basically seals him under the highway. And my thought is, you know, so if you get hired on a construction crew, they just let you do stuff like this. They don't ask, like, what have you been doing all day?
Of course. That's how things work. That's how things work on construction sites.
They just give you free rein.
Yes. Whatever. Absolutely.
That's pretty much what happens in the story, although I think he actually steals the equipment and uses it like over a holiday weekend to dig this trench that he's elaborately planned.
Interesting.
So, I'm just saying it's possible. This is, of course, a nonfiction story. I don't know. I was trying to think of something that wasn't based on anything that I'd seen recently. So I dug back into my childhood memories. And you know how there were movies that we probably watched as kids over and over and over again that really weren't that good.
Right.
And this is one that we recorded off of TV, the made for TV movie, A Very Brady Christmas. Perhaps you've seen it.
I have seen it, I believe. Yes.
The Bradys or the Mike and Carol are trying to get everyone together for the holidays, and their kids are going through various traumas.
Where is the rumble? I can't wait to hear where Rubble fits into this movie.
You remember the end of the movie? Like Mike goes to like check on a construction site, and like part of this building that he's designed is like it collapses and traps Mike in the rubble, and then they all gather around and sing. What song is it?
Jeez.
They sing, "Oh Come All Ye Faithful."
While he's still under the rubble?
He's under the rubble, and he gains the strength.
What?
He gains the strength of 10 Grinches plus 2, and he's able to actually move I forget how he gets out, but he gets out. It's a Christmas miracle, and it's the end of the movie, because it's a Brady Bunch movie, So someone has to get trapped under the rubble.
Man.
Or find, you know, a tiki doll or something. That'd be something.
Wow.
I can't believe you remember that movie, but don't remember.
I don't. I must have been thinking of something else. That'd be another one.
It's at the very end, so I wouldn't be surprised if you shut it off long before you got to that point. But.
By the way, before we get into our next ambush topic, I did find Punk Vacation. Here's a little... This just kind of tells you about what the movie's like. Here's the name of some of the characters. We have shotgun-wielding geezer, sensitive punk, played by Billy Palmieri, and Eric, you should remember Roxanne Rogers playing Ramrod.
How could I forget Ramrod?
All right, Mac, what do you got?
All right. best one I could come up with, actually, but... So in Thor, there's all this talk about the magical rainbow bridge, this gigantic bridge that is a big set piece in the movie. So memorable scenes from movies that take place on bridges.
All right. Another one that should have a lot.
I'll go with why am I blanking on the name of this movie? Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Temple of Doom. That's
of course.
Oh yes.
Yeah. The rope bridge sequence.
That's great.
Very good.
Need I say more?
You need not to. That's
good because I don't remember very well.
Okay, it's a terrible movie, but it's one of my. For some reason, I love this end sequence. It's the big blimp battle on the Golden State Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, rather, in A View to a Kill.
Oh yeah. That's pretty wild. Yeah.
The movie's terrible, but it's a pretty good stunt work, and it's a giant blimp stuck on the Golden Gate Bridge, and Christopher Walken takes like a 1,000-foot drop into the water. So nice little end. I like that end sequence.
I haven't watched that in a while. I kind of wonder how did the effects of that hold up? Was that a real bridge or miniature?
They parked some stunt guys on the real bridge, but a lot of it was, I mean, there were some they pulled back shots. There were some stunt guys pretending to fight on the real bridge. And that was terrifying enough, but most of it was certainly on a stage or something.
I should watch that movie again.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't.
I should fast forward to the bridge.
You should do that, yes.
Well, for mine, I went with what I think is kind of the granddaddy of them all is the blowing up the bridge with the Harrier jets and True Lies.
Ah, yes. That is good.
Yes,
all miniatures, right? All miniatures.
They used Harrier jets and they blew up an actual bridge.
Oh, interesting. Some of it had to be miniature, right?
I guess we can invite our listeners to correct me here, but I believe it was a bridge that was scheduled to be demolished. So they used it in the movie, and somehow Cameron let them, talk them into letting them use real Harrier jets. So.
Man.
At least that's the story I had heard.
I'm going to go with that story. That's cooler than miniatures.
Imagine if the cameraman was like, oh, sorry, I had the lens cap on. Whoa.
All right. Let's see. For the last one here, we'll go with vehicles or conveyances used indoors that should not be used indoors.
Well, the first one that comes to mind is actually sort of an almost.
Okay.
In the Italian Job, there's a bit where they're planning their big heist. And the reason they're using those cars, the Minis, is because the Minis are so versatile they can drive up and down stairs. And the plan was to drive right up into the bad guy's house and go up in the stairs. And they set up like a model, not a model, but like a simulation of the guy's house in their warehouse and driving the Minis up and down the stairs. And I'm like, yeah, oh man, this is going to be really wild driving the cars around inside the house. But then there's a plot twist later on in the movie and they actually don't get to do their heist and they have to go back and plan a second heist. So we never actually got to see the cars driving through the house.
All right, so little storyboard concepts. That's good. That's fine.
Right, yeah. Or driving the truck through the house in Twister.
There you go.
That's good. I'm going to go with, I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's season 3 of Mad Men, when they have the lawnmower, riding mower in the offices. Remember?
Yeah, yes. Yep. And that ends in memorable fashion.
It does end in memorable fashion. And that's
lots of blood.
Yes, lots of blood.
Okay, the thing I was thinking about was the jet skis in the school in Hard Rain.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's good.
A movie that I still think is underappreciated for what it is, fun little action romp. But that was like a centerpiece, I remember, just like in all the trailers and stuff, these guys on their jet skis zipping around the school, Hey, and what high schooler didn't have fantasies of getting on jet skis and driving around their flooded school? That would have been great.
The chase comes to a memorable end as well.
It does come to a memorable end, yes. And actually, a little honorable mention I'll put towards Batman's big, fat, tired motorcycle, the Batpod that he drives like through the malls and stuff in the chase. That was pretty good, too. So, okay. Well, with that, we are bringing to close this edition of the Friday Filibuster. So thank you for listening. Friday Filibuster at DVDVerdict.com is our email address. And I guess it should be mentioned, Eric's taking a little break for a while, so he's going to recharge the batteries, go on a Verdict sabbatical. So this will be his last one for a little bit, but we wish him the best as he watches more Yo Gabba Gabba involuntarily, correct?
Yeah, well, it hasn't been a whole lot of Yo Gabba Gabba. I'll probably just watch more Buffy.
Nice. There you go.
Oh, and backpack across Europe, maybe.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, probably not. I'll probably just watch Buffy. All right.
All right, Mac, take it away.
Let's roll, Kato.